space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a cat fish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this
promised land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Thank you. game is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shaziz here. Hope everybody's doing well. You're listening to www.shazizradio.com, Mad Science Show. So, with that said, there's a few links posted over there in the chat room over there. Hold on, let me repaste that back over there. I don't know what the heck went down. Anyway, yeah, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html if you want to check out these links. Steve posted in some links. I'm not exactly sure what day these were posted in. Well, they're on the Daily Mail UK. He's talked about China working on some nuclear fusion breakthroughs, reactors that basically produce three times hotter than the sun energy. plasma technology. And that's a very interesting one there. And then also down there is another one on the dailymail.uk. It talks about research in earthquakes being caused by fracking operations over there in California. And supposedly they got evidence of this, which I believe, because anytime you crack the ground up, they're going to, for every action, is equal and opposite reaction. And so with that said, you know, you crack the ground up, something's going to shake. And then on top of that, if you take out the hydraulics out from underneath the foundation of any place there, you're going to end up either with a sinkhole or cracks in your foundation or whatever. And so, you know, when they're out there trying to bust up the ground to get gas out or oil or whatever it is that they're trying to get to, in the process of doing that, where they say it's perfectly safe, it's not necessarily the truth when they're talking about safety, because if you're cracking the earth way over there, and it just so happens to be coming up underneath my house, and then you suck out all the gas out from underneath the foundation down there in the earth of my house, well, that gas pocket down there, believe it or not, has hydraulic pressure that was literally holding up my house, or the water or whatever. So you drain all that out, and then the next thing you know, you got a big sinkhole. So, you know, you look all over this earth and you'll see that there's big old sinkholes popping up all over the place, and then look in the general vicinity and see if there's any fracking operations around there, or even oil wells for that matter, because, you know, if your house is unbeknownst to you on top of an oil well and they drain that oil well dry, well, then now you're reliant on whatever strength the earth is right up underneath that, the ground that's underneath your house foundation. And so when that hydraulic pressure's gone and it's dry, as soon or later something's got to give. You know, a little shaking of the earth, maybe a railroad track down the street from your train comes through, vibrates something in the ground, and essentially everything caves in. You see this if you go over and look over there where they had dug on salt mines. I accidentally punched a hole through the salt mine and drained the swamp off into the salt mine, which basically created one heck of a mess. So, you know, whatever people want to say about fractal drilling out there, you know, there's all kinds of and possible negatives that could come along with it. First off, some of the waters that they use in there aren't necessarily the cleanest water. And if you accidentally punch a hole into the water table, that mixture gets up in there in the water. So that's not a good thing either. Oh, also, if you're trying to listen in over on the Awake Radio side, which they're not going to hear this message anyway, but I posted a link over there. For some reason, we're having trouble with the encoder for the Awake Radio side. So if you jump over there to the superchat.html over there at shazizradio.com, you'll still be able to hear the show and be able to still talk in the chat room at Awake Radio as well. So anyway, moving right along, I posted a link inside there in the super chat room about the, there's a guy out there taking steel and aluminum. The steel is like rebar that you put in concrete that you can get at any Home Depot, and then he was taking a aluminum rod and clamping the two ends of these together and putting them down in a solution of sodium hydroxide and water. And in the process of this, without any kind of electricity to it, from the outside that is, because you're obviously going to get a galvanic action between the two metals touching each other, which is going to cause a little bit of electricity flow inside the two dissimilar metals. But the biggest majority of what would be occurring in here would be the reaction between the sodium hydroxide and the aluminum. I posted a link in there to a Wikipedia article that tells you a little bit about sodium hydroxide, and I'll read just a little portion that I also posted into the chat room there. It said sodium hydroxide, NaOH, also known as lye, and caustic soda is an inorganic compound. It's white, solid, highly caustic metallic base and alkali salt of sodium, which is available in pellets, flakes, granules, and prepared solutions at a number of different concentrations. Sodium hydroxide forms approximately 50% by weight saturation solution in water. Sodium hydroxide is soluble in water, ethanol, and methanol. This alkali is deliquescent and readily absorbs moisture and carbon dioxide in the air. So, from what I understand about sodium hydroxide, and believe me, I am not a chemist, and this is pretty much, I just kind of started looking into this because I watched the guy actually doing this process with the two dissimilar metals put down in sodium hydroxide, and he was producing hydrogen. And there, the second link that I put down in there was an individual that basically just used sodium hydroxide and aluminum to produce hydrogen, and then in turn he was able to ignite the hydrogen being released by the two combination. And so, with that said, there are safety issues involved with sodium hydroxide. For one, if you get it on your skin, it can cause severe burns. So it's something that if you're going to do an experiment with, you want to be very cautious not to handle this with your bare hands. But it is very interesting that with different metals and chemicals mixed together, that you can actually get a hydrogen release without any kind of electricity. And as I'm reading through the actual description of what sodium hydroxide is, also known as lye and caustic soda, you can pretty much find that in some of the different things. They actually used to use wood ash to make soap with back in the old days to make a lye. And so there's a possibility in a worst case scenario if you had to build some sort of a fuel cell that you could actually do this. I also, I haven't posted a link over there to it, but if you go on YouTube and you look up hydrogen technology, somewhere out there is a video where the individual built a fuel cell, and I, if memory serves, which sometimes it don't, I believe he had a system where he had like sodium hydroxide pellets and would introduce certain chemistry with that to actually produce hydrogen that was actually running his vehicle. So don't quote me on that. It's just something I think I remember seeing. But either way, it's some very interesting technology, you know, being able to mix these two together. Just sodium hydroxide with aluminum will actually release hydrogen that you could use as fuel. Now, what kind of byproducts that you would get out of it, that's questionable as far as I haven't done enough research to actually be able to tell anybody at this point in the game what kind of reactions or results you'd have as far as waste or, you know, so on and so forth, you know, off-gassing or any danger. So, from this standpoint of view, I wouldn't say that it would be clean renewable technology until I've done more research. So, anyway, my latest video, which I will reach over there on my channel and see if I can get a copy of the link. I've already posted it one time. It said if you scroll up in the chat, you'd probably find it. But I'll go ahead and repost it. It's a video that I put on there called Try This. And essentially in this video, what I was attempting to do was to take an electric motor, because we know that when you compress air, you get heat. There's a commercial on there. All right. Hold on a second. I'm just copying a link. I'm not very good at multitasking. Sorry about that. Alright, so I'm reposting the link in there. I probably already posted it before. Apologize for repetitiveness, but sometimes you got to do this in case people show up and they have already missed it. Starting off fresh here again, when you compress air, you get heat. Alright, and there are several different ways in order to separate hydrogen. and oxygen from the water molecule, one of which is to use the electrolysis process, which would basically be two metals, like let's say two pieces of stainless steel down in some water, and then you put electricity to it, and you would get basically cracking the hydrogen using electrolysis. And in that process, sometimes it's people basically put like salt or baking soda, sodium bicarbonate inside the water to actually make the water more conductive to actually speed up the process of the electrolysis. But in some incidents, it actually builds up a lot of crud in the bottom of the doggone water system down there. So everybody's looking for a cleaner, more efficient way than electrolysis to actually separate the hydrogen and oxygen. Another way in which they separate hydrogen and oxygen, if you kind of think about how the microwave oven works, where it sends out a short, fast wave called a microwave inside the oven, that wave then goes through water, which is a dipole molecule. Dipole molecule is it has a positive and a negative side to it. So when that wave is going through, the peaks and valleys of it changing the field from north to south causes the water molecule to rock back and forth rapidly, which in turn creates friction, which in turn creates heat that heats your food and cooks it from, you know, the inside out essentially. So, you know, with that said, the same process can apply to separating hydrogen and oxygen from the water molecule by using high-frequency radio waves. And Stan Myers, I believe, did this in 1979 when he was running around in his dune buggy, and he had an injector system built up for this internal combustion engine. And essentially took the water molecules and first vaporized them into a fine mist, and then shot the water molecules into the injector and hit it with a high frequency wave that in turn would instantaneously heat up and separate the hydrogen and oxygen and burn it on demand. And so this technology has been around for quite some time. Now, the other way in which you could actually separate the hydrogen and oxygen molecules would be using something that the farmers used to do in their old tractors, where they would take and, when they got their tractors up to operating temperature, begin to inject water inside the cylinder of the tractors and basically be able to save on fuel. So with that said, the idea that I was talking about is basically the same exact concept, is because steam in itself, water will expand multitudes times its own mass whenever it's basically flashed into steam. So the steam pressure and the expansion of it is in itself enough to push the piston back down and restart the cycle again. So the idea that I came up with, that I was tinkering around with, was to be able to take a electric motor and to spin the internal combustion engine over and not let the compression of the piston actually produce the heat that would in turn bring the cylinder temperature up to operating temperature, and then at that point you would begin to inject hydrogen or water into the cylinders in small quantities when the cylinder was hot enough that it would actually flash the water to steam. It would create an expansion that would push the piston back down, and then the best case scenario is that the cylinder gets hot enough to literally crack the hydrogen and oxygen separately, and then inside the cylinders to separate it inside the cylinder. And from that point, the magneto, which or the magnetron, which is on your average weed eater mower and lawn mower and such, that whenever the fly was spinning around and pulsing that magnetron on, timed out that if there was any hydrogen or oxygen in the cylinder, the spark plug would fire and then ignite the hydrogen and oxygen, creating yet even more compression or pressure to push the piston down and run the motor. So As crazy as it may sound, if you were able to use this concept by spinning the motor in the same direction that it would actually be turning, you could actually get the motor to heat up to a temperature to where that whenever the water is injected inside there, not only would the water actually act as a lubricant, not as good of a lubricant as the as oil would be, so this would probably be better served if you used a four cycle motor that actually had a oil tank inside there that actually lubricates from underneath the piston. But if you could get the motor, the electric motor, to run fast enough, long enough to heat up the cylinders and then inject the water, and then the expansion of the water flashing into steam pushes the piston back down, and at a certain point the temperature, operating temperature, got hot enough in there to where it was literally able to crack the hydrogen and oxygen on demand and get that motor to run, then the process of the motor running there, when the RPMs exceeded the RPMs of the internal combustion engines exceed the RPMs of the electric motor, it would literally turn that permanent magnet electric motor into an AC generator once it began to overcome the RPMs of the electric motor. So you use the electric motor to get the internal combustion temperature engine up to operating temperature. Once the engine starts to run and takes over, then when you throttle it up and raise the RPMs up, you will overtake the RPMs of the permanent magnet motor and start to generate electricity. So you will literally have an electric generator that was run on water. Alright, now keep in mind that this video, it doesn't show the actual motor running per se, but what it does show is that it shows that you can see where when it's just being spun by the electric motor, it's running pretty smooth. It's not jumping around or bucking or anything. But once the operating temperature gets up there, and you can see that this engine begins to buck as if it's making the attempt to start. Now, I just used a regular household a drill, an AC 120 volt AC drill, to turn this thing. So without measuring any RPMs or anything like that, I left this thing running until the temperature, I had a temperature on the deal, to, you'll see in the video, to where I could measure to see, and it was measuring in Celsius, which then you have to, if you're on the Fahrenheit system, you'd have to do the calculations or whatever. But either way, you could see that the temperature was up there pretty doggone good. And so that meant that the compression of the air inside the piston was actually heating up that piston. And also keep in mind that some of that heat would have been due to friction from, normally a weed eater motor runs off of a two cycle engine gas mix. So you put like two cycle gas mixture oil in with your gasoline and it runs in there, and that's what actually lubricates the piston as it's running. And so with that said, you didn't have that extra lubrication in the fuel that you're putting in. You're just using the water as the lubrication for the fuel, which isn't as good as oil. So some of that heat had to do with friction of the cylinder not having proper lubrication, but the other portion of the heat was from the actual compression of the air inside that cylinder. If you ever been around an air compressor, a regular air compressor, you go over there, you don't want to touch the head up there, where the actual compression is taking place, because it gets really hot. Now you can actually burn yourself on the head of an air compressor. And so we know that compressed air will actually produce a quite a substantial amount of heat. And in a lot of air compressors, they actually have a lubrication system. One of the older style air compressors have a really cruddy air compressor or oiling system. Basically, it's a ring that kind of spins around in a pool of oil and then picks up some of that oil and basically drips it onto the cylinder and so on, which keeps it lubricated, but they're not very good. I actually got an air compressor that I made homemade like that, and after too long of a period, it'll actually start to lock itself up because it gets too hot, and the cylinder expands, which basically, you know, you're one step away from disaster there at that point, because you're going to destroy that head on there. It'll scar the cylinder walls or, you know, just basically lock up. But either way, that's the basic concept of what that video is about, and got a couple thumbs down on it already because people just don't seem to understand what it is I'm trying to show you. There's all kinds of different methods for moving energy from point A to point B, and that's all we're doing. We're not, and you know, according to the own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? You know, we're just moving it from one point to the next and getting work done in the middle of the deal. And so these ideas that I keep putting out there, if you take all these ideas and you put them in conjunction with one another and you start to step back and think about the possibilities of what you could actually do with this technology, you could literally build the perfect engine that, you know, everything in that engine is being used. In your standard internal combustion engine, you have so much waste heat in an internal combustion engine, it's ridiculous. I mean, as a matter of fact, when we talk about over-unity, getting out more energy than you're putting in, they say that's not possible. But in reality, if you take away anything from an internal combustion engine, what you end up with is a machine that is literally going to destroy itself because it's going to get so incredibly hot. If you take the radiator off of your car, then it's only a matter of time before you destroy that motor. The viscosity of the oil, because of the heat temperature, is going to break down. The oil is going to become thinner. It's not going to be lubricating properly for the speed and RPMs that it's running at. And eventually, when the oil breaks down, it's going to start digging into the cylinder walls, and it's going to tear itself up. The other possibility is that the cylinders, like I mentioned with the air compressor, are going to expand from the heat temperature and jam up inside that cylinder and fuse itself to the wall. With the water temperature, you know, because you're not going to have any water temperature in here, that heat could literally expand that block to the extent that where it actually cracks. You know, it'll crack the doggone block. So you won't even be able to run that doggone car engine without no water for quite some time. If there are certain synthetic chemicals out there, you used to call it like Duralube or, I don't know, there's a bunch of different ones out there, synthetic ones, where you could actually basically coat the walls of your cylinders with this stuff, and you can run this engine without no oil in it for quite some time. But even after a while, I would suspect that that would break down as well. But anyway, taking all these things in conjunction with one another and factoring in all the possibilities, you could literally design an engine that would recycle every bit of that energy that was coming through there. You know, I think it was Mazda RX-7 way back in the day used to have rotary engines in them. And they basically didn't stick around very long because they had some drawbacks to them. But the actual concept of it to begin with was pretty impressive. But these rotary engines could actually be worth taking a second look at, because if you can get past certain portions of the internal combustion engine, then you'll reduce the friction and you'll reduce the what's necessary to actually get the horsepower that you're wanting out of it. And if this engine was designed properly, you wouldn't get all the heat that you'd normally get out of your normal engine. It would be running efficiently because there wouldn't be, no vibration. There wouldn't be no no friction to speak of, you know, that was going to cause serious damage after a certain point. Let me see. I think somebody's trying to give me a message here. Doop de doop doo. Alrighty. Okay, well, I think I figured out why we haven't been able to use the deal there. Alright, so anyway, I'm gonna take a music break real quick and try to resolve an issue real quick. So stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love, everybody. We'll be right back.
Touch me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Doc, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Doc, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, this might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus, sir? So anyway, you're listening to Shaziz Radio on www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat room, you can jump over there to the superchat.html. So that's www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. The Super Chat Room was set up so that you could actually be able to talk to not just the Shaziz Radio crew, but the Wake Radio Chat Room as well, so you get like a two-for-one there. It's a twofer! Anyway, got a lot of projects in the works, and have we're working on putting together a booklet, which will be a joint effort from all kinds of different people doing research, where essentially going to be a simple how-to book. You know, we're going to put all these projects out there in how-to form and freely distribute these books all over to people to get the actual information in their hands so they can actually see how something's made if they want to try to make it themselves. And the best part about this book that we're going to be putting together is, number one, it's free. No, free of charge. And it's going to be put together in such a fashion that you can actually take it apart and put it on a copy machine and copy off as many copies as you want and distribute it to as many people as you want. So if you're interested in doing a how-to video or a how-to, what's the phrase I'm looking for? It's in paper form. If you're interested in doing some how-to deal, mail your submission to www.shazizradio@yahoo. What did I just say? www. No, I didn't. Shazizradio@yahoo.com. Anyway, if you send your submission over there, we'll see if we can get it in the book. Now, keep in mind, we aren't doing this for commercial purposes, so we don't want to be, you know, advertising anything like that. But if you got your how-to set up to the point where, you know, you bought this part from this website or you bought this part from this business, that's fine. You know, show people where you got it and that kind of stuff. But we're not trying to set it up as a commercial kind of deal. It's just kind of helping everybody out and putting some how-tos together and putting it out there into people's hands. And as far as, you know, the cost of it, we may actually do a deal to, you know, donate some paper or whatever, or some, you know, people actually working on the project together to, you know, supplement the cost, but it's not going to be anything substantial, if at all. So preferably we make the first few copies and everybody else sends them out there to everybody else, who then in turn sends them out to everybody else. You know, make your own copies and everybody can share the expense of producing the booklets and that kind of stuff. But I think it'll be beneficial because it'll show, you know, people how to make things like rocket stoves or wood burning, generators or Stirling engines. So if you got any kind of research that you do out there and you want to have it be part of this this booklet idea, then put your, you know, take pictures of whatever you're doing and put your explanation down and materials and stuff, and, you know, show people how you built it so that they can duplicate it if they like. And that's the whole purpose of this thing, is so that, man, I'm just having a heck of a time concentrating today. Whole purpose of this thing is to get people to be able to understand that there's a lot of stuff out there that's available. You know, there's off the store shelves such as electric motors that are permanent magnet electric motors that, if spun backwards, could build a wind generator stuff. You know, there's all kinds of things out there like that. And even in this video that I posted up here about the hydrogen production using aluminum and sodium hydroxide. Now, keep in mind, there are safety concerns that I have right out of the gate from sodium hydroxide and that, but I haven't done enough research because I'm not a chemist, so I haven't done a lot of research into it, but it does actually produce hydrogen. So in the worst case scenario, you could actually come up with some scrap metals and some water and some sodium hydroxide to actually make a fuel source. Now, once again, it all falls back on to research and safety. So you want to research it up real good, because from what I understand, sodium hydroxide, you don't want to get it on your bare skin because it can cause severe burns. And then any byproducts, I'm not sure about that. What kind of byproducts that it would actually have in the process. There may be a safe way you can do it, and it may be something that just ain't going to work out, period, because it's just, you know, not plausible. But we do know in the second video that I posted down there where the guy shows that he's just using sodium hydroxide and aluminum in itself in order to produce hydrogen, and he actually ignites the hydrogen to show that it is hydrogen production going on inside there. And the one prior that I talked about was he used two dissimilar metals. He used a steel piece of rebar and a piece of aluminum and had them connected at the ends together, which basically created a galvanic action with it. So it was a process in which you didn't need any electricity in order to produce hydrogen. So it is very interesting, and it is something that's worth looking into to see, you know, what all the pros and cons would be of it. Now, there's a lot of good researchers out there in alternative energy. If you look underneath the chat rooms down in the Super Chat HTML page, you'll find there's a couple links down in there. One of them, Zero Fossil Fuel, out there on YouTube, he's going full-time doing this, so if you got an opportunity to go over and help support him with his endeavors to bring you good information and research and stuff like that, that'd be wonderful. And also, if you check out Russ from rwgresearch.com and opensourceenergy.org, those are... Russ is a really wonderful guy. He's a family man. He does a lot of really good, brilliant work. And if you get an opportunity to go over and support him as well, that would be great. There's different links down there. Rich Industry, Rich Planet Energy Research Project. I believe that's rimstar.org. And he does some pretty informative videos in alternative energy. TeslaMaker.com. There's a bunch of links down and underneath there, and there's more on different pages. So just go out there and jump around on ShazizRadio.com and look around. And if there's something that you're interested in, some project that you're interested in, we can see if we can post something up for you to show you how to do it. You know, there's circuitry out there, Slayer Exciter circuitry for wireless energy and Tesla technology. We've also got some of that stuff posted around here. And Revolution Green is another alternative energy news. There's a link at the top of above the chat room on that one. And we was actually working on a Mad Scientist store, which essentially was, if you got a project that you're out there working and other people want to test that project, but they don't have the skills maybe to build it or whatever, or the time to actually build it, you could actually sell your projects on the Mad Scientist store. You know, all of this stuff on this platform has been put together, available for, you know, you to use, so that, you know, we could work together as a team and actually find the clean, renewable alternative energy that everybody says that they want. And, you know, with that said, you know, if it's all about saving the planet, then the only ones that can do it is us. We got to get together and actually do it. So... the links are there. There's a platform here for you if you're wanting to join on the Shaziz Radio show at any time. It's as simple as a Skype call. You know, the same thing applies with the Knights of the Round Table. It's people coming together, brilliant minds from all over the planet. We're doing things, you know, we're trying to get things done by, you know, motivating each other and helping each other out with ideas and possibly resources if needed. And, you know, it's just people taking care of people, and, you know, ideas is how things get done. So also, if you're listening in and you want to attend the University of Mad Science and get your Mad Scientist degree, all you got to do is jump over there or above the chat room, and says, there's a button up there that says attend the University of Mad Science. Go take that test, and if you pass the test, then you print out your degree, and there you go. Hanging on the wall, you're a mad scientist. All you got to do is mess your hair up, and there you go. You're ready to roll. See, mad science isn't like mainstream science out there. I call it mad science because I really get ticked off because of the science that we have available to us. We should be so much further advanced in technology than what we are. Now, people will argue and say, well, we got all this and we got all that, you know. Well, look, at one hand, you got people out there hollering about how we're destroying the planet, but on the other hand, all the solutions to resolve these issues are right there in front of everybody's face and have been for quite some time, yet nobody's jumping on that bandwagon to actually get up and do it. It's kind of like this. There's a story I heard quite some time back where this lady was going to make a cake or something like that, you know, and she went out and she did all the work and she made the cake and everybody sat around and nobody took the time to get up and help her or anything or offered help do the dishes afterwards or anything like that. They just kind of sat around, and when she was done with the cake, it smelled so good and she put all the icing on there, and then suddenly everybody was interested. Alright, well, the cake's already done now. Never mind the fact that this lady did it all by herself, that nobody wanted to assist her in the endeavor. They just wanted to reap the rewards of her hard labor without adding any kind of, you know, effort towards it. You know? And so, if you're out there and you're complaining about clean, renewable energy, if you're complaining about the environment and you're not being proactive, then you don't have no just cause to be complaining. Because the technologies out here, in order to resolve all the issues that are supposedly in our world today, have been available forever and a day. We don't have to refine naturally radioactive material into highly radioactive rods and boil water. There's other ways to boil water. You know, we boil water and turn it into steam so that we can turn turbines, which turns generators, which produces our electricity, and everybody's all sweet and happy about it as long as the lights are still on. But the moment something goes wrong, then suddenly everybody's hollering the sky's falling because now you got a nuclear disaster going on. But there's technologies out there that don't require any highly radioactive materials. In its natural state, the radioactivity is producing energy that could be tapped in for electricity without boiling any water, without all the dangers of somebody getting ill from radiation sickness. So, you know, I call it mad science because when you sit out there and you listen and you watch, they're using modern day technology to run ancient boiler systems, and something could fail, the plumbing could fail, and now you got hot radioactive water flowing around. You know, look at the Fukushima incident, and you know, the fact that somebody always feels it necessary to put a doggone nuclear power plant in a position where, you know, you could either get hit by a tsunami or an earthquake, or, you know, it's always in a bad spot for some reason. And you can't have this stuff going on if you're really caring about the planet. And as far as the whole, you know, global warming / climate change debacle out there, if people are all so worried about all these carbon emissions and all the stuff going on, then why aren't they paying attention to all these alternative energy ideas out here? You'll hear everything under the sun. Well, you know, the solar panels, they only work when the sun's out. And in the wind, you know, the blades might chop up the birds or whatever. You know, come on, get a grip, people. You know, if you look at your average reciprocating fan that's on your doggone table that's keeping wind blowing through your room, it's got a screen on there so people don't put the fingers in it. So if you're worried about the birds getting chopped up by the windmill blades, then doggone it, put a screen around it. It's not that doggone hard. It's not rocket science. But if solar panel isn't cutting the job, throw up a wind turbine with a screen around it, and now you got two things going on. When it ain't sunny outside, it might be windy outside. So now you got two energies, you know, going on that you can tap into. You got hydroelectrics, you got thermoelectrics, you got solar power, wind power. You know, there's so many different possibilities out there. We know that there's certain chemicals when mixed with each other that will create a reaction. Look at the lead acid battery, for example, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to be the type of electrolyte that they use in lead acid batteries. You don't have to use battery acid. People's been doing it with pickle juice, you know. They call it alum, pickling salts, you know. And you can make a battery with that. And you know, all you need is a couple plates and anything. Back in the day when they showed real science in school, they showed how you put a penny in one side of a lemon and then a doggone nickel in the other. And now between the copper and the nickel, you put your tongue on the end of that, you can feel an electric charge. You can actually measure a voltage off of a lemon. So make your batteries with lemon juice. You know, I think the biggest problem of the whole situation is people have become so reliant on everyone else doing things for them. You know, if all heck broke loose and the doggone system collapsed, and you needed electricity in order to live a comfortable life, would you know how to do it? Well, that's what we're trying to show you here. We're trying to show you all kinds of things. If you look at my YouTube channel, same username, Shaziz. Just Google up Shaziz. You'll find all the links. And you look on there, I'm putting constantly little ideas out there. They in themselves, they're not free energy. They're not over unity. They're not zero point. But they are energy ideas that are pieces of the puzzle that when used in conjunction with one another, if you take and put the brilliant minds on the table and you sit there and you talk about all these different pieces of the puzzle, you could literally design the perfect generating system. You could design a backup for a backup for a backup that would work in a harmony with nature without ever even causing any problems. You know, in every single portion of all this alternative energy deal, there's tons and tons of researchers out there talking about all this different stuff, but they want to put all their eggs in one basket. If it's hydrogen, it's hydrogen alone. You know, why not hydrogen and solar? Why not hydrogen and solar and wind? Why not hydrogen, solar, and wind, and battery technology, and graphene technology? Why not take all of this stuff that we already know about, put it together in one nifty little package, and now you got something that's working no matter what's going on? You could work off the temperature differences. If that doggone thing gets up to a certain temperature, and, you want to use the waste heat off of it, then use the waste heat using Peltier elements to actually generate yet even more electricity. So where there's a wheel, there is definitely a way. You just got to want to do it. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Sometimes I feel like I'm talking down an empty tunnel. But, you know, all these, you look at the actions of all the people out there talking about all this stuff. You talk about, listen, the government says we got to reduce our carbon footprint. They got to put all these taxes in place and all these rules and regulations in place so that we can save the environment. We got to save the planet. But actions speak louder than words. Talk is cheap as far as I'm concerned. If you can't get your act together, you got all these supposed brilliant scientists out there and they can't figure out how to put these pieces of the puzzle together to make a generator that wouldn't produce carbon emissions, that would be working in harmony with nature. It's already there. We have it. We've had it forever and a day. But they don't want to do this. And it's obvious by their actions that they don't want to do this, because it is fully plausible to build an electric car that will charge itself as it's driving down the road. But for national security purposes or financial institution reasons or economy-wise, oh, well, we can't do this because. And that's always what you hear. We can't do this because. Well, if the problem is so dire and we're destroying the planet, then what other option that we do we have but to look into all these different technologies? It's already there, people. That you right now, we have 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt every bit of every single piece of the puzzle that we need to literally produce a doggone generator that will not use fuel like your average internal combustion engine. And even if it was to use water for fuel. When you burn water, when the hydrogen and oxygen are separated and recombined on the other side, you get water out the exhaust. So it's a no-brainer, you know? But, doggone it, if you got to sell oil, then you sure don't want people talking about, you know, being able to burn water for fuel. Then you're going to have the people out there, uneducated individuals, going to say, well, wait a second, well, you can't burn up all that water because we got to have something to drink. The earth is 3/4 covered in water, for Pete's sake. You ain't going to run out of it. It's not possible. You know, and if the planet gets hot enough to boil away that much water, then we got serious issues. According to the global warming freaks out there in this world, we should have already been fried. Because it don't take no 20 years to boil water. That's a fact. You can put on your stove down at the very lowest temperature, heat a pan of water with your pilot light off the doggone stove. And it won't take no 20 years to boil that water into steam. But yet they've been hollering about this for over 20 years. Supposedly the planet's heating up. Well, if that's the case, if that's what you want to believe, and if the sky is indeed falling, then let's all of us get together and get our act together, and let's resolve this issue once and for all. Otherwise, she's just spitting in the wind. You're slinging mud at somebody because you say your science is better than their science, but your actions don't speak at all. Well, they kind of do whenever you're standing out there and you're protesting save the trees and you got a wooden stick on a paper sign that says save the trees. I'm kind of asking myself and looking at you, what's the deal there? You're talking about save the trees, yet you got a stick and a paper sign that says save the trees. Shouldn't you, instead of doing all that, go out there and plant a tree or something? I'm just saying. You know, it's common sense. It's things like this that just get me so doggone frustrated. That's why I call it mad science. You know? Do I have every answer that there is? No, I'm just a human, just like everybody else. I don't have all the answers, but what I see out there in front of my face is access to all the answers, all the brilliant minds out there. You know, a house doesn't get built by just the guy that can swing a hammer. A house gets built by a guy who can run a saw and a guy who knows how to do the electrical and the glass work and the ceramics, the tiles, whatever, you know. Somebody's got to do the roof. You know, if you're a multi-talented individual who knows how to do all of everything, if you're a master of all trades and you're a one-man show and can build a house, that's all well and good. But even in that, you're going to need somebody to hold some 2x4s or the other end of the tape measure. Something. So, all I've been saying all this time is there's technology that's already available. And if it was put together and used, you know, in conjunction with another, instead of trying to put all your eggs in one basket, you put all this brilliance on the table and you bring brilliant minds together, you could actually get something done. But it don't seem that these folks out there to talk about save the planet really care about saving the planet. All they care about is boo-hooing about the planet. Oh, the planet's dying, we're all miserable, everything is terrible, the sky is falling, it's all awful, you know. Well, doggone it. Come on, folks. If it's that bad, and ain't nobody doing nothing about it, then you're going to have a self-fulfilled prophecy. It's just going to fail, you know. The planet just can't sustain everybody just completely taking and taking and taking and taking and never giving back. This planet's pretty powerful. Nature can cure itself and clean itself up, and there ain't no chemical that we've ever created that wasn't there before we got here. You know, you take this and you mix it with that and you get something that's dangerous. It'll burn humans, it'll burn other things, but once it's out there in nature, nature breaks it down back into its natural components and recycles it back into the system. But you got people out there that, you know, they ignore the volcano going off and point the finger at your car. Oh, your car is polluting the planet. What about that doggone volcano, partner? You know what I'm saying? All right, well, you know, so nature's doing a lot of stuff. Hollering about methane releases here and this and that. Sure, you know, if you're doing fractal drilling and you're causing sinkholes all over the place and earthquakes and you're tearing up a lot of crud and you bust into a pocket of methane, surely that methane popping up in the atmosphere is going to kind of throw things off of balance. But after a while, nature's going to straighten it back out. Nature can't straighten it back out in a timely fashion when it's continuously going on 24/7 and everybody's wondering why their waterways are polluted or their air is kind of cruddy looking. That's because you're not working with nature, you're working against nature. When you have the technologies available at hand, right there in front of your face, and you're not using them, and you're not saying, look, hey, instead of adding all these doggone regulations on for this carbon tax or whatever, why don't we take a look into these alternative energies and support these individuals out there doing this research and actually get something done? Ironically enough, sodium hydroxide, it says right there in the doggone Wikipedia links, and, you know, I don't always trust Wikipedia because I know they got some weirdos over there with an agenda, so I don't always trust them. But if you read down through there, let me see if I can find out where it says it. Sodium hydroxide is soluble in water, methane alkalis, absorbs moisture and carbon dioxide in the air. So this is saying that sodium hydroxide not only absorbs moisture, but it also absorbs carbon dioxide in the air. That's a curious kind of deal there, very interesting. Could it possibly be sodium hydroxide could actually be beneficial? I don't know. They've got to do some research on it. If you're worried about CO2 being up in the air and this actually absorbs CO2 in the air, maybe it's a possibility. Won't know without the research. So I'm not making any claims. I'm just saying. The only claim I'm making is we already got everything we need. It's just a matter of who wants to get together and do it. I don't have all the skill sets. I don't have all the machining tools to make everything that needs to be made. All I can do is take and use off-the-shelf things or find some junk and modify it in order to be able to prove theories and tech ideas and such and show people certain things. That's what my YouTube channel is about, is to show you things, to get your mind thinking outside the doggone box. It's what the radio show's about. I want to make this world a better place. It's kind of hard to make the world a better place when you got people always running around bickering with one another. Bickering never got anything done. Sitting here arguing over who's right and who's wrong. Meanwhile, according to Snively Whiplash, is trying to get taxes out of you, the planet's getting ready to burn up. We're going to get hit by Planet X, or the aliens are going to come down and suck our face off or something. You know, common sense dictates that there's a problem, you address the largest problem first. And I would think that if our planet's burning up, that would be the problem that we should solve first. You know, there's a episode going on and has been going on in Japan. The Fukushima incident has been going on forever and a day. But I don't hear nobody in the mainstream media talking about it. I don't hear the government saying we got to get over here and fix this because it's bad. And the British Petroleum, BP oil spill out there, they're still to this day dumping crud in the ocean to disperse doggone oil from the leaks. Alright, well, you know, I have to ask the question, if it disperses oil and fish have oil in them, then what is going to keep that fish from turning to mush if he swims through this crud? But the EPA, while they might have said cut back on how much you put out there, are still allowing them to put that stuff out there. Where's all the scientists? Where's all the people out there, the environmentalists, saying, no, wait a second, You said that this does this to oil, then what about the fish swimming through there? Is this perfectly harmless for the fish? The same thing applied when they started putting fluoride in people's water. Said it was good for your teeth, but then they found out later on that too much fluoride in your water causes a disease called advanced fluoridosis, where it turns your doggone teeth brown. Folks, if you want to live in a toxic world, then you have made it there. You are here. You go to the doggone grocery store, everything's a chemistry lab. I mean, doggone it, you could probably make a bomb out of the snack section. Now, I just said a keyword bomb. Now I'm going to have the doggone Men in Black rolling up on me because I'm talking about making bombs out of nachos and Kool-Aid. Heck, Coca-Cola, they use Coca-Cola to clean all kinds of stuff. You can clean your battery terminals with Coca-Cola. Nobody's hollering about that. And as far as I understand, there's carbonated water in doggone soda pop, so y'all gonna have to sit around and start drinking flat soda because you can't have that CO2 releasing out of your soda glass or bottle or whatever into the air because you're going to create the doggone global warming. Now, can anybody understand why it is that I get so doggone frustrated? Basic science isn't basic science anymore. It's just freaking fear-mongering and propaganda. It's just stupidity. I want to get some money for my research, so I'm going to agree with this whole global warming thing. Everybody needs to get the polar bear some life jackets because the ice sheets are melting. Ask me to... Let me ask you a question. We're on a ball, according to science, in the deep darkness of space. And we're told by science that space is brutal. It is a brutal vacuum with radiation and hot and cold. And the top of the Earth and the bottom of the Earth get the less sunlight because the Earth is revolving, according to science, around the sun. So at the equator, we're told that the equator is the hottest portion of the planet because it gets the most sunlight. Well, the top and the bottom get the least amount of sunlight, and so therefore are the coldest portions of the Earth. Well, what has changed and the top and the bottom to change the temperature enough to overcome something that cold? If it's below zero up there, and probably many, many degrees below zero up there, and not to mention the wind chill, because we're actually spinning 1,000 miles an hour on its axis, so you can only imagine what the wind would be like. What has changed? It's always going to have ice on the polar ice caps. It's always going to have ice at the top. It's always going to have ice at the bottom if their science is right and the Earth is spinning around the sun and the equator is the hottest and the top and the bottom are going to be the coldest. They get the least amount of sunlight. So with that said, you know, talking about how the atmosphere is heating up and it's frying the planet and the polar ice caps is melting is just beyond ridiculous. It's stupid. Don't make no sense. But people will sit around and argue till they're blue in the face and jaw-jack with one another and talk about how the sky is falling, all this doom and gloom and all this, and we're all going to freaking die. Yet nobody is out here promoting or assisting or supporting alternative energy research like they should be if they really wanted to get something done. Sure, you got pockets of a bunch of people that's actually doing some research, actually getting some stuff done, but can you get them all to the table together, and can you get them to leave their egos behind so that they can actually get something accomplished? I submit from experience that no, you can't. Many people get mad because they think that it's all about oh shiziz. Well, it ain't all about oh shiziz. I promote people's YouTube channels. I promote everybody's science. You know, I want these folks that are brilliant to be seen. I want them to be heard. I want you to take an advantage of all the links posted in the chat rooms or on the website. And if it ain't this website, there's other ones out there. Go over to Wake Radio and check out the links that they posted in Alternative Energy. Go to RevolutionGreen.com there and check them out. Check out Russ from RWG Research, Ryan from Abrams Lab, or Terry Woodruff, any of these brilliant guys out there, man. They're doing all kinds of cool stuff. Deeds, check him out on YouTube. Ludic Science, and man, it just goes on and on. Go out, check out Muddy Mudman's check out his channel. You know, look at his actual flux wind turbines. He shows you how to build them. You know. So, let me take another quick music break and see if I can get somebody to come on here and join me. Do-do-do. Stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science.
Stopping at the lower cab to back. me came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world all a silvery light. Waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination.
Six, five, four, three, two.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. We're back. You're listening to Mad Science with www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you get to talk to two different chat rooms at one time, the Awake Radio side and the Shaziz Radio side. So with that said, we're talking about free energy, alternative energy, green energy, clean renewable energy, all these different key words and phrases that you hear out there. And, you know, people like to say, well, there's no such thing as free energy. Well, really? When's the last time you got a bill from the sun? When's the last time you got a bill from the rain or the wind or the earth or whatever? Nature has provided all the power that you need to run your electricity, but you know, using it in the efficient manner or in harmony with nature, that's the key. We got all these people out there talking about how you got to save the planet. Well, let's do it. Let's save the planet. You know, I don't think the planet's necessarily in danger for man, but let's save it anyway. All right, let's put your money where your mouth is, put up or shut up. See, I call it mad science for a reason, because the technology's been out there. And when we talk about hydrogen technology, there are methods by which you can actually separate the oxygen and the hydrogen from the water molecule safely without creating any kind of byproduct, such as the crud that would build up in the electrolysis process at the bottom of your hydrogen cell. You know, or even the method by which I mentioned earlier. See, and once again, I'm not saying I don't understand the whole the chemistry of the whole deal, but using sodium hydroxide to interact with aluminum and produce hydrogen, I haven't done enough research to know what kind of byproducts it might produce, if any, or if they're at the dangers. But I do know that from what I've read so far of sodium hydroxide is you don't want to get it on your skin because it could cause severe chemical burns. With that said, sodium hydroxide and water and aluminum mixture actually does produce hydrogen. There's a link in the chat room. You can actually see where the guy actually ignites he puts the aluminum down in some sodium hydroxide and lets the reaction occur, and then takes a light seat, and you can see it actually burns the hydrogen. So, with that said as well, we have a lot of with that saids, but hydrogen and oxygen can be separated with radio waves. You know, if you... Once again, going back looking at the how a microwave oven functions. Yeah, let's go on the American side of the deal. You have 120 volts AC that runs into a transformer that basically is a step-up transformer. It takes 120 volts AC on the primary side and boosts it up to about 2,000 volts AC on the secondary side of the transformer. That energy, in turn, then is sent into what's known as a magnetron. The magnetron is basically the equivalence of a light bulb. It has a tungsten element inside there. Now, you can't see it, but if that thing was clear, like a regular light bulb, you'd actually be able to see there's light inside that doggone magnetron. Basically, what happens is, when you energize the magnetron, it heats up the tungsten element and releases electrons inside that vacuum. Well, on each side of the magnetron, you also have a magnet, one facing north and one facing south. These are essentially there to guide, using the magnetic field to guide those electrons and actually get them into spinning. So when the heat is produced and the electrons released, they get caught up in the magnetic field and they begin to spin inside this vacuum. And then from that point on, at the other end of that magnetron inside that vacuum, there is a little disc that has a bunch of tiny little holes where the electron gets trapped in there and begins to spin yet even faster. So it basically speeds them up. And so, at the other end of that magnetron, you also have another magnet, which is going in the opposite direction, which is guiding the electron through to that direction. And then at the final conclusion of it, you have the equivalence of an antenna, where that energy is then transmitted as far as a waveform out in super fast short wave called a microwave. That microwave then goes in through the doggone oven, and it will interact with water molecules. Water is a dipole molecule, has a positive and a negative field on there. So as that wave is coming through there, the peaks and valleys of the waves, the north and south fluctuation of the magnetic field is rocking that water molecule back and forth so rapidly that it creates friction, which in turn creates heat and cooks your food. So the same process could be applied, like Stan Myers and many others have done, using radio waves to actually separate the hydrogen and oxygen and burn it for fuel. When you burn the hydrogen and oxygen in the chamber and the exhaust comes out the other end and the hydrogen and oxygen actually recombine with the other, you get water as your exhaust. So you started off with water, you ended up with water, no losses there in the whole deal. You just use that reaction in between in order to get the work done that you wanted done. It's as simple as that. And so in my mind, as far as off-the-shelf technologies ready to roll right now, hydrogen technology would be the fastest one to get there. I would like to also expand on the hydrogen technology and actually get into some plasma technology, which is basically a difference of how you're going to move that energy once you got it to something else. Now, if you're just burning water and just got a hydrogen generator, then you already got it resolved. You don't have to go through another step. But to take energy off of a generator as it stands right now with the regular internal combustion engine that's using gasoline or diesel, then the harder that generator head has to work, then the less efficient it's going to become. It's going to use more fuel in order to be able to do this. And so even with the hydrogen portion of it, if you want to cut back on how much hydrogen it actually takes to run that, then you make that generator head more efficient. And the way to do this is to take the energy off of the generator instead of using it as you would normally use, like a direct load onto it, which would invoke Lenz's law and create back EMF that would actually act as a brake on the armature and slowing down that generator head, which in turn that energy transfers over to the motor running it or the engine running it and causes it to have to work harder, which produces even more heat and basically less efficient. So you take this energy off the generator head, you're not going to lose anything. You're just going to change that energy to a completely different state of matter. And you're going to change it into the fourth state of matter. So you take that energy off and you energize with the energy coming out of that generator head, you energize an inert gas into the plasma state, which is the fourth state of matter. You'll not only get visible light out of this deal, but light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. But you're not going to be invoking Lenz's law back to the generator because it's not the same form of energy. You're not going to have a direct connection back to there for the electron flows to make it back in. Now, this is proven if you go back and look at the old 1800s technology called the plasma arc reactor, the mercury arc rectifier, mercury arc rectifier. Google it up. Look up at the mercury arc rectifier out there and see what they used it for. See, when Edison had DC current and then AC current come in via Tesla, then they had to figure out a way that Edison could still run his elevators using the high voltage AC that Tesla was now providing. So in order to do this, they figured out how to take the high voltage AC and send it into a little pool of mercury, which would create a dead short and heat that mercury up. Mercury is a liquid metal. It would heat it up into a vapor, and then that high voltage AC continuously coming in would rock those mercury vapor bulbs back and forth so rapidly that they would energize them into the state of plasma. And so from that point on, you had to take that energy off. Well, The pressure was so intense inside the mercury arc rectifier that the electrons could not flow backwards. They only had one way to go. Therefore, it was DC current now on the opposite side. So you took high voltage AC, energized it into plasma, created a rectifier to rectify the high voltage AC into high voltage DC, and now you was able to run them. So the technology's there. You know, when you first hit your generator on that mercury arc rectifier, it would have been like a dead short. It would have almost bogged that doggone generator down, almost dropped to its face. But after it got into the plasma state, that effect would be lessened quite substantially to the point where the generator's not having to work hard anymore. And so that ought to tell you something. Now, in my mind, mercury is not the safest for many reasons. Not the best idea because, for one, mercury is a liquid metal. So even in the vapor stage, when you have the mercury, first the pool, that's a dead short, right? So it's going to have to work hard to get overcome that, and it's a resistive heat that basically turns it into gas, and then you keep on energizing it, and then it turns it into plasma. However, all them molecules of mercury up inside there basically could act as like a wire. So you would get some sort of lens effect back into the actual generator head. So whereas not like putting a regular tungsten element as a direct the load onto the generator, you would actually be drawing more trying to do that. It would be a lesser effect than that, but it's still going to get some sort of lens effect making that generator work harder. Now, if you take something that is like a non-metallic, like a argon or helium or halogen. There's several different noble gases out there. And you energize, I prefer argon. You energize argon into the plasma state. You still have as much energy as that generator is capable of producing. You just changed it into a completely different state of matter. And so if you've got heat being produced by the plasma, and you got visible light being produced by the plasma, now you got to be able to take that energy and put it back into a usable form on the other side. And there's many ways of which to do this. If you have a plasma reactor chamber that has copper tubing inside there, that it's still sealed off, you still got your vacuum, but you circulate whatever liquid you want to heat up through that copper tubing coil, that plasma surrounding that copper tubing coil is actually producing heat that is transferring the energy from that plasma into the doggone copper, which is transferring that energy in as form of heat into whatever liquid, say water, that you're putting through the other side. And at a high enough voltage and a high enough temperature, you could literally flash it into instantaneously steam and run turbines with it. But in the chamber, you're still not losing anything because everything's sealed inside that vacuum. So all you're doing is changing the energy and moving the energy that you want in a way, in a different form, away from the generator, as opposed to allowing it to make a completed cycle back into the generator. Therefore, the generator in itself will run more efficient and use less fuel. So using all these technologies in conjunction with one another, starting off with from a hydrogen generating system to changing that energy to a different state of matter and taking it away from the generator, and then being able to make it more efficient and run clean and renewable. There you go. There is the answer right there for everybody and his brother out there who really seriously concerned about the planet and really seriously wants clean, alternative, renewable, green energy, free energy, whatever you want to say. You know, there's so many different benefits for taking all these pieces of the puzzle and putting them in conjunction with one another instead of putting all your eggs in one basket. Tesla had brilliant ideas. Tesla was responsible for just about every doggone thing you've got out there has Tesla technology in it. All right? But that even his research had other research available in it. All right? There's all kinds of different materials. There's exotic materials out there. You know, Robert Murray Smith is out there doing brilliant work in carbon, nanocarbons, and graphene technology. A lot of stuff going on. And so, you take all these things in together, we could literally build a perfect superconductor. We could build a perfect generating system that would be clean, renewable, that once the average Joe had the charging unit in their yard and they owned it, then they wouldn't be paying for no electric bill. Now, it's for obvious reasons, there's people out there that don't want you to be able to do this. There are hydrogen vehicles out there already on the market. You just don't hear about them a lot because they're so doggone expensive because it's not mass-produced. But there are tractor-trailers driving on hydrogen. There are forklifts driving on hydrogen. I don't know if you've ever seen a forklift, but those things are pretty doggone heavy, and they have to be able to lift a lot of weight. So there is a lot of energy that has to be produced in order to be able to lift a couple thousand-pound pallet of whatever material. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility because they're doing it. So we're not saying anything that hasn't been done. You know, all this technology's there. And it's been around forever and a day. That's why I call it mad science. You know, because it really frustrates me. It makes me angry. But anyway, basically what you got going on is you got a system out there that complains and doesn't do anything. Actions speak louder than words. If the governments and the representatives of these countries and the world, they really cared about everything, if they was really concerned about so-called global warming / climate change, number one, if they were concerned about nature in general, they wouldn't be spraying crud in the air, you know, and they wouldn't be out there dropping bombs on one another, or firing depleted uranium from bullets to shoot the enemy's tanks and people and stuff. You know, wouldn't be no reason for all these doggone wars over resources if everybody understood that you could actually use what nature's already provided to produce the same amount of energy and still even have the same comforts and luxuries of life that you got now. It's not that we can't, it's that society won't. You know, and it's up to we, the people, to actually build this stuff and do it ourselves. Doggone it, my grandfather used to say, if you want something done, you just got to get up and do it yourself, especially if you want it done right. You have to get up and you have to do it yourself. You know, and it applied then as it applies now. It's reality. So, you know, we got everything we need. I'm looking for the dream team. I'm looking for the crew out there that's interested in really making this kind of stuff happen. You know, all these brilliant individuals out there doing their own individual research, if you could just get them to the same table in the same shop with materials necessary, then you could have, within less than 30 days' time, you could have a proven free energy device that would fully function and not violate any of the so-called laws of physics. You know what Lenz's law, and you know what eddy currents, and you know what all that stuff is, and you know the drawbacks of it. Eddy currents produce heat. Lenz effect basically causes your doggone generator to fight against itself. And so instead of invoking these laws, then you take that energy away from the generator in a completely different form so that you're not feeding electron flow back into that generator and you're not making it work harder. It's simple. But, you know, hey, like I said, here we are in the year 2016 and we're still fighting against the whole so-called global warming / climate change / save the planet. You know, look, you got people out there trying to protect the whales. You got people out there trying to protect the trees. You got people out there trying to protect everything under the sun, but yet industry out there doesn't seem to get it. If you kill off your food chain, then you ain't got no more food, then you're in trouble. And if the planet was really heating up like they say it is, then you might want to get resolve on this issue. When you've got radioactive material flowing into the ocean and heating the waters up, there's a problem. Alright, now is it going to be a forever problem? Well, it's going to be forever as long as you keep pumping it in. Nature can clean up any mess that you make, but nature has to have time to do that. And so if you're polluting it faster than nature can clean it up, and you're not assisting nature in that cleanup, then you're the one that's going to pay the price. You know, I put this example out there before. If you got a goldfish in a bowl, and you love your goldfish, and you keep feeding your goldfish, but you never take the time to clean this water, you know, take a little bit of water out, put some fresh water in, keep that thing down and test the water level, the alkaline in the water. If you keep feeding that goldfish and that goldfish keeps peeing and pooing in his own water, eventually the water will become so acidic that it will burn the gills of the fish, and the fish won't be able to breathe, and he'll be floating belly up, and you'll give him the moment of silence as you flush the stool. You know, that's kind of sad, and it's kind of crude, but that's the fact. That's reality. If you're not, if there's not some sort of outside force cleaning up, then you're going to end up basically killing off your goldfish, just like you'll end up killing off a man. And the planet will still be here. After man's gone and the planet croaks out, or the people croak out, the planet will eventually break down all the materials that we put together. Because keep in mind, there is not one single material that man has ever created that did not come from the earth first. And so, with that said, we mix this with that, and then we got the chemical that was toxic and dangerous. And then after a while, you know, nature would break it back down into its natural components and recycle it into the system. It's a brilliant design. You know, our creator knew what he was doing whenever he created this planet. Self-contained biosphere, thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. Every bit of energy that you need to actually get anything done in this world was provided for you. There's more than enough land mass, more than enough water, more than enough resources to feed every single living soul on this planet. Yet we still have people in this world in the year 2016 that are starving to death, and I have to ask why. And if we have wars over resources, we shouldn't be fighting over water, that's for sure, because the earth is 3/4 covered in water. And don't even get me started about desalinization or fresh water or this kind of stuff. Everybody got a good reason why you can't do that and something, but they ain't got a good reason why you can do something. But we got plenty of water, and you ain't never going to run out of oil, so the oil industry is going to be around in your face forever and a day. They make tires out of oil. They make plastics out of oil. They make all kinds of products out of oil. And so they're making a lot of money. And if you start running water in your engine instead of gasoline, they're still going to make money because they're still going to sell you the tires that you use to drive on. And you're still going to need some oil to lubricate the doggone bearings and grease and such. So it's not like they're going to, you know, lose it all. It just means that they ain't going to make as much money, and that frustrates individuals because they ain't going to make all the money. They want greed, greed, greed. That's all they want. More money. So we don't have an energy crisis, people. We have a common sense crisis. There's a total lack of common sense around this globe. Now, basic science taught me a lot of stuff. And then mainstream science tried to hide the stuff that it was taught. And they started trying to change the stuff that was taught. So now they're trying to tell me that CO2 gets up in the atmosphere and traps in heat, and it's causing the planet to heat up, and we're going to all boil to death, and we're all going to die. It's ridiculous. First off, CO2 is heavier than oxygen. Carbon monoxide, which comes out of the cars, carbon dioxide comes out of your mouth. You breathe in air, you breathe out carbon dioxide. Your car takes in fossil fuels and breathes out carbon monoxide. A carbon monoxide is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. Carbon dioxide is one oxygen atom connected to two carbon atoms, or two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom. All right, now if I got this backwards, then excuse me, but I've said this so many doggone times it makes my head hurt. Anyway, either way, both of which are heavier than oxygen. At 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen. Anything higher, the air gets thinner, the oxygen gets thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner until you ain't got no oxygen up there. You have to pump it in the cabin of the airplane so that you can breathe. And then you got to have something that's going to scrub off the carbon dioxide so that you keep the air filtered so that everybody doesn't suffocate. So, if indeed carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide are heavier than oxygen, how is it magically making it up there where oxygen can't go? And CO2 displaces oxygen because it's heavier than oxygen. So if there was enough CO2 from the ground all the way up to where they say it's at, then you would suffocate. And carbon monoxide would poison you. You'd have carbon monoxide poisoning because basically, carbon monoxide builds up in your system, carbon, and you die of lead poisoning, carbon poisoning, whatever. Either way, if there's enough carbon monoxide from the Earth to the atmosphere where they say it's all being trapped in, you all be poisoned. That's why you got carbon monoxide detectors for your house. That's why they got carbon dioxide detectors. But people don't get it, man. You gotta understand the basics of science before you can get out there and talk about saving the planet. It's that simple. So, with that said, I'm tired of the whole global warming. I'm tired of the whole climate change. I'm tired of the fraud, the deceit, the doggone taxes, the government, and the, you know, when politicians come out there and they're Republican, Democrat, whatever. When they come out and they start talking about this whole climate change issue, how we got to reduce CO2 emissions and so on and so forth, and mainstream industry falls for the same doggone thing, when the average Joe hears mainstream media and mainstream businesses and mainstream governments and supposedly the mainstream scientists saying, oh, well, doomsday's around the corner, we're all going to die from CO2, The people out here in general public, they begin to believe it. You tell a lie long enough and people are going to believe it. It's ridiculous. But it's all based on bogus science. It's all based on a lie. And if you're really seriously concerned about it, I have to ask the question, why in the heck aren't you out here not only promoting alternative energy research, but assisting every individual out there who's looking in any direction to find the clean, renewable energy that you've been hollering about all this time? Tax money ain't going to do it unless you take that tax money and funnel it down to RWG Research or Zero Fossil Fuel or Shaziz YouTube or whatever. Unless you guys want to get out there and pay for some doggone research equipment and a team to actually put things together, it ain't getting done. All you're doing is collecting money. Where's that tax money going? In whose pockets? What kind of black ops project are you getting it? Where's that money? Is it doggone global warming money going into more war efforts out there for the industrial military complex to make more money? You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no guns and ammunition if ain't nobody at war. It's as simple as that. And if you want clean, renewable energy, if you want free energy, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough, because nature is powerful. Nature has already provided every single thing under the sun necessary to feed, house, clothe, and keep energy enough for people to be warm or cool for the rest of the history of this planet. And you got idiots, and I mean flat out idiots, and if you're one of those individuals who believe the world's overpopulated, you fall in that crowd. You're an idiot. That's simple as that. You're just a flat out idiot. You don't understand nature, you don't understand life or decency or nothing. And you're not jumping off the cliff to save the world from overpopulation. You're not offering up your children or your family. You're just sitting around talking about how, oh, we got to get rid of some people. We got to do some birth control so we can get the planet population down to where it's sustainable. I got news for you. If the world ever does get overpopulated, then nature will balance it back out, just like nature balances everything else back out. There will be a new disease. There will be some sort of thing that's going to kill off a mass amount of individuals. And then whoever's left is the lucky. But nature is more powerful than you will ever be. That's flat out. Go out there and see if you can stop an earthquake once man creates it with the fractal drilling and throws things off balance. You can't. You can't do it. So, you know, with that said, the technology is out there to resolve every single issue under the sun. When people decide to come to the table and they decide to get resolved, they decide to get this thing done, then we'll get it done. But in the meantime, you're going to have Chicken Littles running all over the planet saying the sky is falling, doomsday is here, and we're all going to die, we got to depopulate the planet, and so on and so forth. You're going to have idiocy run amok. The United States government, biggest group of idiots in the history of time. Now, there's probably one or two, or maybe three good individuals in that entire process, but the majority of them, including them themselves, are idiots. Because they're allowing the shenanigans to go on. You drop a bomb over on somebody's deal over there, and for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. You just threw that pebble in the pond, is going to affect every single person on this planet. You just knocked them back into the Stone Age. You created another problem. Now you got refugees all over the doggone planet. Now you got to figure out a way to move resources from this part to that part to get everybody fed, and so on and so forth. And in the process, you're going to use more fossil fuels and add to the doggone so-called global warming again. So it's counterproductive. Every single thing, actions speak louder than words. And when I watch the actions of the United States government, I say, we are being run by lunatic morons. Idiots. Stupid people. You got monkeys with a gun running amok. That's why I call it mad science. Because I can see from my ground level every single answer to every single question ever in the existence of the history of time having to do with alternative energy and the solutions and the resolutions. And I'm sitting here pointing them out and pointing them out and pointing them out. And all I get in return is some idiot coming by and telling me how freaking stupid I am. When, if they did the mathematics, if you did the science, if you did the experiments, you would see that this one anomaly by itself isn't going to run your house. But add that one anomaly with another anomaly, and you're going to find that you're getting one step closer to running your house. Add this one in there with that, and that, when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, you can literally build a hydrogen generator that would start off with electricity, compress the doggone air to the right operating temperature, begin to inject the water into that cylinder, and the expansion of the water molecule being multiple times its own volume once it is flashed into steam would push the piston down, and at some point the temperature would rise up enough in there that now you could actually use the spark coming from the spark plug to ignite the hydrogen and oxygen on demand with that deal, and you can run the internal combustion engine up to enough RPMs to literally overcome the generator that it used to start doggone thing spinning to begin with. That energy being produced on the other side, now you turn that doggone motor into a generator, now it's producing electricity out the other side. Then you take that electricity, you shoot it that high voltage AC inside of a doggone vacuum chamber, you energize that into the fourth state of matter being plasma, you take that energy from there and off in the form of heat, light, or even the energy from the radiant energy that is created by the plasma. There's a magnetic field fluctuation going on while that plasma is being energized. So there's many ways to take that energy back and put it into usable form. You could store it back into doggone capacitor banks, bleed it off into batteries, and then run inverters on the other side, and bam, now you got the doggone lights on just like you would before. You just did it in a different, more efficient manner. You're not using near as much fuel, and you're not producing near the waste. If any at all. If done properly, there wouldn't be no waste. You would be absorbing that heat and using that heat to basically heat your water, heat your house. It is 150,000% perfectly plausible, scientifically plausible, without violating any of the known laws of physics, to build a power plant that would literally not only heat your house, but cool your house, give you all the electricity that you need in order to run your house, and not burn any fossil fuels in the process. Not waste any energy. When the sun's out, it's supplemental to the system. When your wind is blowing, it's supplemental to the system. When the rain is falling, it's supplemental to the system. You can use earth battery technology. You can hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, wind power, solar power, all this stuff in conjunction in one unit that is a power plant for every individual house out there, and you have absolutely no pollution in the process. And it's there. It's there for the taking. It's going to take the right doggone team of individuals to literally get in a lab, build the stuff, use everybody's skill set. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a mathematician. I can't mill. I run milling equipment and all that kind of stuff. But if you take all these individuals and you put them together, my ideas with your ideas, my skills with your skills, and so on and so forth, all these individuals together, put them together in a doggone lab with all the materials and all the tools necessary, we can literally build a device, a power plant that would solve all the so-called energy crisis of the world. And without defying one set law of physics. Now, I can say this till I'm blue in the face, but until I can get somebody on board to actually doing it, then it's just talk. But look into every doggone anomaly that I pointed out. When you burn hydrogen and oxygen, you get water. That's a no-brainer. And there's many ways to separate the hydrogen from the oxygen. Some are cleaner than others. If you want to generate electricity in the conventional form, you either have an internal combustion engine running a generator head that is spinning magnets across coils. When those magnetic flux lines are passing the copper, it's shaking loose the electrons and creating a flow, which in turn is our electricity, in the form of AC current, which if you're going to use DC current, you have to figure out a way to rectify it into a one-way voltage instead of back and forth like the AC current. So it's not like I don't understand how the thing functions. I can tell you in graphic detail exactly how the internal combustion engine works, and I can tell you in graphic detail how to make that internal combustion engine, instead of getting 30 miles to the gallon, get 100 to 200 miles to the gallon. It's as simple as vaporization. If you're squirting it in into the jet and the cylinders are going up and down so rapidly, it don't have time for that fuel to completely burn. So send it in a fine mist, just enough to create the combustion that you need to push the piston down, and the rest of that, everything is burnt off in there. And believe it or not, even when you're burning gasoline, you're still burning water. There's water in the gasoline. So, when you use it more efficiently, when you have the timing set just right, when you got the air-fuel mixture just right, you have a perfectly running vehicle that you could run. Instead of 30 miles to the gallon, you can get 100 to 200 miles or more per gallon. You can do this with water, you can do this, anything out there can be used as fuel. You could use wood gas, it doesn't matter. You get the mathematics down, you get the mixture down just right, you don't have all the waste. There would be no reason for a catalytic converter on any motor vehicle. The only thing a catalytic converter is a reburner of waste fuel. Some of which gets sucked back up into the intake and reburn again for a second go. But keep in mind, the faster you're going, the faster that piston is going, and the less of that fuel is going to burn up because it's happening so rapidly. But if you're using just the right amount to get the torque and the compression that you need, the horsepower that you want, everything gets used. And it gets used in a clean fashion. So therein lies the conundrum, the enigma. Why can't we get everybody to do this? You know, it's a riddle within a riddle, a question without an answer. Why you can't get doggone people to come together to the table to actually resolve this so-called energy crisis? The people out there want to make money. They're greedy. They make money. They want to sell their doggone oil. If you're sitting on thousands and thousands of gallons of oil and you own it, you want to sell it for the best price possible. Well, under my job's plan, if you actually paid attention long enough, you'd still be making money and possibly even more money than you would be just selling it the way that you're selling it without producing all the waste. Because everything's getting used up. Oh, gives me a headache, man. Drives me flat out insane. But the answers are there. And if anybody is really interested, and anybody really wants to get it done, take my ideas and run with them. Start your own website. Start your own radio show. Post links over at ShazizRadio.com or AwakeRadio.com or People to People or over there to... doggone it, there's just so many different networks out there. Go over to Shake and Wake Radio. They like free energy. Post some links over there. Just post them everywhere. Pace the planet with all the information you come across so that everybody else can get a hold of this information. We're going to be making a booklet, like I said, that's going to have how-tos in it. And if you want to contribute to how-to, just start taking pictures and documenting your work of a project that you want to show everybody. And we'll put it in the booklet so that we can hand deliver them to people. And then when you get the booklet from us or anybody else, it'll be put together in a fashion that you can actually dismantle it and put it on a photocopier and copy out yet even more copies and pass them out to yet even more people. This process by which we can inform everybody out there that in worst case scenario, you can use a washing machine motor, permanent magnet motor of any kind to actually generate power, emergency power. And in order to be able to drive this, heck, you could hook it up to a doggone pedal bike and get some exercise while you do it. Or you can hook it up to a wind turbine that Muddy could show you how to carve up a blade from an old 2x4. So it ain't that it can't, it's just that so far people won't. You know, I'm trying to put this information out there for everybody and his brother in hopes that we can actually bring people to the table and get a resolution to the whole so-called dilemma going on out there in the world. You know, this isn't no voodoo version of plasma that I'm talking about. It's no instant fix. It's basically people have to get up and start putting things together and making it work. But if you're concerned about the fossil fuel industry, if you're concerned about saving the planet, if you're concerned about any of the issues out there environmental-wise, then you should be on the bandwagon and you should be trying to get these alternative energy ideas out there to everybody and his brother. You got a Facebook, you got a YouTube, you got all these different social media networks. Tell people about Shazizz Radio Mad Science, or don't tell them about Shazizz Radio Mad Science. Tell them about somebody else's doing good research. Go out there and check the links posted for Zero Fossil Fuel and RWG Research. If you like their research, support them. Do something. Revolution Green out there. Get behind Ken over there at Revolution Green and help support him. You know, it's that simple. You got ideas, you got designs, make videos, make hard copies, pass them out to us, pass them out to everybody and his brother, put them out there. And together we'll all get it out there in the mainstream and on the market. That's how you resolve this thing, people. The government can't resolve it. And if they could, they probably wouldn't, because it's too much power, too much money, too much, you know, if you're the man in charge, the last thing you want to do is have somebody else show everybody how to do it without their help. It's that simple. That's where we stand in today's society. That's why we still have wars. That's why we still have disputes. That's why we have companies failing and people suffering, because everybody wants to make money, but nobody wants to get up and do nothing. And in worst case scenario, there's all kinds of options out there. Do you know how to make a fire? Do you know how to do medicine? Do you know? Knowledge is power, people, and that's as simple as that. We can make this world a much better place. We can make this world habitable for everybody out there. We can shelter all the homeless. We can feed all the hungry. We can do everything that is necessary to be done. We have been given by, in my belief, our Creator, every single resource available, every single potential, every single possibility, all the energy necessary, everything. If we use this massive gift that we call our Earth, our planet, we use its resources responsibly and in harmony with nature, we would have every single thing that we needed done. Period. Say, how you doing there, Steve? Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
We're live, brother.
I should hope so, because I wouldn't want to wake up one morning dead.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, anyway, we're down to like the last 29 minutes. Good to hear from you.
Well, I was kind of listening there, and you're making good points, you know. We've all got something to offer. Why don't we offer it?
Yeah, that's the only way to get things done, man. You know, like we were talking about here a while back, some of the things that you cook and bake and stuff like that. I couldn't do that. But, you know, if you were around and we were all working hard together trying to build something and we got hungry, man, you're the man to talk to because you know how to make it. You see what I'm saying?
I know how to make a lot of things, my friend, not just food.
Well, I'm just saying that's just one of the examples. That's just one of your many talents. And together, you know, you got a team. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And even if somebody, all they could do is sing, you know, hey, be nice to have a little bit of entertainment while we're working hard and eating good, right?
Well, don't forget, Shaz, is that for a very long time in human history, the bards were the keeper of knowledge. So if you can sing, then you can go abroad and tell the story.
Yeah.
That's how things used to work.
Well, maybe that's how they ought to work again. Maybe we ought to learn from the positives of the past and actually, you know, repeat that portion.
Let's not forget, people, that the minstrel was welcome at every hearth in every home. He was the keeper of gossip. He was the keeper of knowledge. And if he wanted to spread a rumor, that was the best way to do it.
And write a song for him?
Yeah, I mean, some guy in a pair of tights with a lute would be the equivalent of the modern-day Facebook, really.
Well, I think right now we're literally standing at the best time in the world to get something done. I mean, we have access to technology that, if used properly, the research capabilities of this internet are mind-boggling. The communication possibility is the same thing. You know, if we take this resource that has been provided for us, using everything that we know about basic science and everything under the sun, we could actually literally bring about our own utopia, our own heaven on earth, so to speak. We could do it. I'm telling you, I know we could do this. But you got to get people to the understanding that, you know, if you're going to go out there and play all these video games all day long, that's what you've accomplished throughout your entire life. You've left nothing decent for the next guy in line, except for, you know, maybe you got a few tricks on the video game you can teach them. You see what I mean?
Well, in fairness, I mean, it is very important for 15-year-olds to know all of the calibers of various different sniper rifles and what sort of hand knife is best to stab someone in the head from behind while you're cloaked, invisible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real talents for the future marketplace.
Well, once again, that is job security for those out there who understand the fact that you can't sell bullets and guns and ammunition and weapons unless anybody's fighting. If ain't nobody fighting, there's no need for all that. Except maybe hunting.
Maybe.
It's just... Steve, we don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. That's it.
I can't disagree with that.
Well, our doggone representatives out there, you know, may think they're doing a service, but in reality are doing a disservice, because not only are they teaching our children bogus science and to believe in the boogeyman, but they're, you know, they're destroying our nations of the world, not just here in America, everywhere. When corporations are allowed to go down to Mexico and pollute their waterways, and then the people down there are all sick and everything, and then they need medical attention, hey, the medical industry will make some money. The corporation's still going to make some money.
Chazuz, if people truly believe that the boogeyman lives underneath their bed, why don't they throw under a feather duster and tell him to take off the cobwebs while he's down there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Some practical use for it. I mean, there's no point having some big monster underneath your bed if he's not going to work for his keep. There's no free lunches in this world.
That's right. Well, I like the way you think, brother.
Congressman Bongwater taught me well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. There is a lot of brilliance in this world, man. We've got everything we need. I sat there and explained in graphic detail how we could actually build a hydrogen generator that would be self-contained, and it would literally be clean, renewable, just like everybody wants. You know, you hear about all these people talk about save the planet. We're giving them the solutions, but instead of listening, they're going to come by and point out what it is that they don't like about it.
Shaziz, what about electrolysis in a vacuum?
Well, it'd probably be more efficient.
I mean, as far as I know, most liquids will boil at a lower temperature, requiring less energy to bring them to that temperature once they're set in a vacuum. So, vacuum tube technology is kind of ancient at this stage. If they were doing it in the early parts and the very late parts of the 18th and 19th century, how difficult is it to do it now?
Well, that's why I keep talking about the mercury arc rectifier, because essentially that's what it was, vacuum tube technology. They took high voltage AC and turned it into high voltage DC. It was also a rectifier. So there you go, man. And look, you get visible light, you got heat. Light is heat, heat is light, vice versa. You know, and you don't even have to use electrolysis. You know, you could use radio waves. Stan Myers did it. Many other people have done it. You know, some people do use different frequencies and different methods to generate the frequencies, but either way, it's the same thing. You're rocking the water molecules and separating them into the hydrogen and oxygen, and you're burning it on demand. And what do you get when you burn water? Water.
Well, here's a mad one for you, Shaziz. Do you know that many countries in the equator, tinted glass your home is standard?
Well, that's a really brilliant idea, because you know, tinted glass basically would keep some of the doggone radiant heat out of your house and help it be cooler inside your house and make it more efficient. But on the other hand, you know, in the wintertime, could be kind of counterproductive a bit.
Chazuz, there is no winter in the equator.
Oh, well, there you go then. So it's perfect snow.
Damn redneck.
Oh no, I
was in a place called Lake Toba in 1996, and they were kind of, they couldn't believe that people in the Northern Hemisphere didn't have polarizing glass in their houses, because the concept of it was, is it doesn't reflect, but it dissipates light spectrum that's going to basically energize particles inside the building that would cause heat through friction.
You know, and that's another thing, when you think about this, when you got a beam of light coming through your window, you see dust particles in the air through that beam of light. So what is going on that's able to keep those dust particles floating around your house all the time?
What happens to heat? It rises.
Yeah.
So the photons that are coming through that window are energizing and heating those particles, keeping them aloft a lot longer than they normally would be.
Yep.
And believe me, it doesn't help with dusting.
No, it don't, because when you dust, guess what? The dust gets shook up into the air and floats around some more and falls somewhere else.
Well, no, the point is suspended particles, they don't stay suspended forever.
Uh-oh.
And eventually they land somewhere. So this idea that there's less cleaning if the particles are all in the air is a fallacy, I know from personal experience.
Well, we've got filtration technology that could clean the doggone dust out of your air, and you'd never have to clean your house if you did it right. You know, you could circulate volumes and volumes of air through your house, and you could collect it up on filters, and then every so often have to change the doggone filter, or you could make a self-cleaning filter that when it got clogged up, there would be, you know, water that would run down and wash that down the drain, and it's gone. It's ready to go again.
Well, you have what's called a prime air system in horticulture. If you have a greenhouse, you use a pump to raise the pressure inside the greenhouse to maybe one or two times normal atmosphere, and that stops a lot of the bugs and pests actually coming in, because any time you open a door or open a window, I mean, you can't leave them open, but temporarily you've got this positive pressure that stops things easily flying in.
Well, see, that's brilliant there in itself.
It's kind of a simple solution, really. I mean, a lot of them have air locks, like a space where you change your clothes, put on clean... It's almost like a clean room full of dirt.
Well, we got all this doggone technology. We should be like living like kind of like on Star Trek or something, man. We should have all this stuff resolved. But the whole purpose of people... Like, look. If somebody got the iPhone 6 or iPhone 5 and they got a whole bunch on the shelf, they obviously don't want to sell the iPhone 5 or iPhone 6 until they can sell the iPhone 5, because they want to make money on the iPhone 5, you know? So
just don't ask somebody that's not approved by Apple to fix your iPhone, or if she'll get the dreaded error 53 code.
Well,
and then you've got a $200, $300, $400 brick in your hand.
My point is this. Everybody's waiting around for doggone industry to catch up when industry is lagging behind on purpose because they don't want certain things out there on the market. Why would you want a better, more efficient car out there on the market, even though the government says it has to be this much efficient? If it's too much efficient, it's not going to bring as much taxes into the government, and it's not going to bring as much money into the industry. So that's why they say, well, you know, there's a limit here. We don't want to go too efficient, because if we do, then we're not going to make as much money. When in reality, your average mechanic knows how to make that doggone vehicle more efficient. And if he doesn't, he's not a very good mechanic.
I'm sorry, but I have to call conspiracy theory on that.
Yeah?
Because very soon we will have electric cars, but only if Google controls them.
Yeah.
And do not even think for one second you are ever going to have an efficient vehicle that you can control yourself.
Yeah, and this self-driving cars is something crazy about all that. You know, I don't know necessarily that I'd want a self-driving car, because next thing you know, you'll have like the police will say, well, look, we got to tap into this self-driving car and drive this person over to the jailhouse.
Well, back in the very, very early 80s...
I want at least the option to be able to run.
Well, she says, back in the very early 80s, my stepfather used to like a few beers on a Saturday night. And, you know, forget all of this Google self-driving car business. We were kind of assured that his vehicle had autopilot. Because the amount he used to drink on a Saturday night, he couldn't have possibly driven home by himself.
Yeah, now they got these cars that you got to breathe into in order to get it to start.
Hey, look, I'm not getting in a car and blowing anything for any amount of money.
Well, look, they got enough technology to spy on you. They got enough technology to make your car start unless you freaking take a breathalyzer before you start. They got enough technology to make the car start with a remote control, with your thumbprint, or voice commands, but yet we don't have enough technology to solve the so-called energy crisis of the world. I'm calling shenanigans. Period.
Well, Shaziz, they can't spy on my Facebook account because I don't have one. They can't spy on my YouTube account because I don't have one. The only thing I have is Skype, really. And from my perspective, the people that are interested in what I do know where I am. If they want to find me, I'm on Chizzer's radio. I mean, very kindly, Awake Radio generally allows me to be broadcasted on their network, as a few others do as well. Anybody that's interested in what I can do or what I can't do, if I mention something, it's not hard to get hold of me.
Well, I personally don't care if the government spies on me. I just hope that they take some of my advice and they learn something and change their ways. You know, is that going to happen?
They're not going to change the habit of thousands of years of mechanistic control of population. But they think they've got this science to such a great level now that they can't fail. Well, they are.
Well, the best time to get ready for a doggone tornado or a flood is before it happens, to be prepared, as opposed to after it happens, trying to figure out what to do. That's what I'm trying to point out to the world. We could get this done before something bad happens, and then everybody be provided for if something did. We could build houses. If you live in Tornado Alley, you should have an aerodynamic house that the wind will just go around. It'll ignore you. It's going to grab every flat surface and rip it over, but your house is going to be fine. You can build your house underground. Tornado ain't an issue. Now, if you build your house underground below flood level, then you're in trouble. If you build your house underground above flood level, then you're fine. Then the only issue is to worry about whether or not you're going to have an earthquake or not, or fire. All these issues could be resolved. I mean, they got bunkers out there that literally have rollers underneath them and shock absorbers so that if there is an earthquake, that the bunker just goes with the flow.
Shaziz.
Yeah.
Why not just buy a decommissioned silo? You know, one of these old nuclear bunker things where they used to have missile storage. You can buy them.
I'd love to have one.
So would I. That would really give a SWAT team a run for their money, wouldn't it?
Yep.
15 stories below ground with nuclear hardened concrete. I mean,
I'd love to have one. I'd build me a mad science lab down there of epic proportions, man. Yeah, if anybody wants to donate Shaziz Labs a doggone old nuclear silo, missile silo, hey, I'll take it.
Well, I was just thinking that it would really give, you know, the SWAT team a run for their money, wouldn't it?
Oh, heck yeah. It wouldn't be no kicking in the door, so simple as that. Yeah, I'm be in there on my radio station, and I'll be talking, and they'll be all mad out there trying to get in, banging on the walls and everything, and it can't get in.
Well, because in fairness, a lot of the experiments that are done by yourself, RWG, a lot of the different groups out there are potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
And an environment like that would... It was built as a safe test zone.
Well, there
so
you go,
is anybody
man.
With a facility like that that would be willing to host a bunch of strange and unusual people to try all sorts of weird stuff? Let us know.
There you go, man. You know,
we're not fundamentally bad people. We're seeking solutions. Well, I spent a bit of time on TNS radio and people's internet radio and various groups, and I probably wasn't really suitable for that, but at the same point, they did instill in me the idea that seeking solutions is the whole game.
I agree. And the results that we could get out of this whole deal is what everybody keeps claiming that they want. You know, they want clean, renewable, free, alternative energy. And I'm telling you that we have every single answer, every single piece of the puzzle, that if people really wanted to seriously do this, it would get done, period.
I mean, what do we really need to be happy? Food, water, shelter.
Yeah.
And Twitter, Facebook, and MySpace, and God knows what else.
Well...
Oh, and Big Brother, of course.
We got everything that we need to literally resolve all the issues. There shouldn't be anybody starving. There shouldn't be any wars going on. There shouldn't be anybody living homeless unless that they so choose to just live out on the land. There shouldn't be any of that. We should be in a society today where everybody could at least survive and be fed and healthy. And it's what they all want. It's what the utopians want, man. But in order to get to their resolve, they feel like Agenda 21 kind of scenarios is the best way to go. You kill off all the other people, and only the brilliant survive or whatever, you know. It's ridiculous. It's flat out ridiculous, man.
Well, to this, didn't they, roughly 100 years ago now, have a war to end all wars?
Yeah, well, it failed.
Well, that didn't really kind of work out. So there's a second war to end all wars, 100 years ago, and off the back of that, they created the United Nations, which was to end all wars. Well, can we get a refund?
Yeah, we need a refund, seriously, because it failed. They failed miserably, and they're still failing. We don't need a one world government. We need a one world idea, such as everybody realizes that. This other system just did not work, and so all we got to do from here on out is to literally start working with one another, you know, make things happen. It's going to be the average Joe that solves the issue. It isn't going to be the governments or the corporations out there. They got an agenda. They got a bottom line. They want to make money.
There's a lot of places in the world, even to this day, where the whole principle of local government works on personal accountability. If you are found to be reliant on others for your existence and your subsistence, then you're a threat to the community. And that doesn't mean to say that you're sent to the edge of the village or banished. You know, they don't throw you out. What they do is to enable you and help you to get the skills you need, so you're not dependent on other people.
Well, and that's the whole key to this all this issue right here, man. If people know how to grow food, then they don't go hungry, and they can share the food with their neighbors. You know, like, it's all common sense. Nothing I'm saying out here isn't something that isn't possible. If people want this thing done, instead of going out there protesting save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign and making yourself look foolish and getting pepper sprayed by the law, man, go out there and plant a tree, man. Simple as that. And, you know...
Yeah, plant an oak tree right next to some really rich person's mansion, as close as you can get it.
Yeah, that way the oak tree just kind of like grows up and slams through the side of the wall and breaks up the foundation with the roots.
Oh yeah. Well, if you look at the canopy of most oak trees, look, the actual leaves that spread out above it, the size of the root ball underneath the tree is usually a mirror of what's above ground.
Yep.
So even if you plant it 100 feet away, you can get some sadistic revenge on people that have appropriated unearned wealth. But beside that, there is a serious point to this. If you can supply enough energy, you can grow food anywhere in the world, in any place in the world. And I would love to have a 30-story former silo, so I can test this.
Yep.
I mean, I've worked in greenhouses where they use artificial light to grow all sorts of vegetables, fruits, all sorts of things. Now, I've grown in a completely dark space full-term plants that have produced good quantities of fruit and vegetables that have never seen daylight.
A long time ago, there was a show that came on where they literally built these domes out there, and their attempt was to get inside these domes and make a completely self-contained biosphere. You remember that show?
Well, you've got the Eden Project in Cornwall in England. That's a bunch of geodesic domes, massive, massive geodesic domes with artificial environments in them.
Well, that type of system could fall into what you're talking about with one of these old silos. You could have it totally self-contained, where it clean its own air, where you could grow food, you know, where there isn't sunlight, and so on and so forth. All these things are possible.
The military have been doing this since the 1950s.
Well, then why ain't the civilians doing it?
Well, because the civilians were paying for it.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you would have thought with the advances in technology in that 70-year period, what would have been incredibly expensive now is probably not so much.
Well, the key point to that whole deal is not only does the taxpayer paying for it, but if you ever watch their actions, in order to keep continuity of government, the government will build themselves bunkers. But if they really cared about the people, wouldn't you think they'd go around and build the people a bunker that was self-sufficient as well?
Well, it's funny you should say that. There are certain countries in the world that do have emergency shelters for 90% of the population.
What about the other 10%?
Well, you need somebody to shut the door after you. No, the point being is not everybody, it's not feasible that everybody would make it to a shelter within 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's understandable.
But it is a consideration of the Japanese government, of the Swiss government, of various governments around the world, that their populations are actually worth saving.
Well, so I wish the American government thought the same.
Is that one out?
I mean, come on, man. Once the Agenda 21 actually takes the place and they whack off half the population and ain't nobody around that can do anything because all the stupid people in charge don't know how to do anything. Of course, you know, with the internet, we've already provided them all the answers because what do you think they want to have all these supercomputers taking and gobbling up all this information? Because if you're down in a bunker and you want to know how to make something, and old Joe Redneck on the other side showed you how to heat some water efficiently, hey, you just Google up his doggone YouTube channel and look at it. Now, Joe Redneck, he's already gone because he's part of the outside during the apocalypse, and he died, but his information's still in your database.
Which is this. One of the things that people forget is in your bunker, you have food, you have water, you have CO2 scrubbers. You know, you even have, some sort of method of, you know, making sure that there's continuity of your existence. But don't forget to take something to educate and entertain yourself with, because you're going to be there for the best part of your lifetime and the lifetimes of many generations after you.
Yep. And we're down to the wire there, brother. So with that said, I'd like to just point out, man, look, hey, before it gets to the bunker stage where everybody has to go inside a bunker, let's fix this world before we blow it up. You know, that's the best choice, because then we're out there, we got nature, we got plenty of room to move around, we're taking care of one another, we're feeding everybody, everybody has a roof over their head and clothes on their back, and we're all getting along, you know. That's a simple way to do it. But, you know, the way it stands, it looks like everybody wants to take the hard road. Am I wrong?
Well, my favourite form of mad science is the stuff that is so simple you can't believe it actually works. And there's quite a lot of evidence out there that there's quite a lot of mad science that does. It's simple, it's not expensive, and it's not really that difficult, but you have to go out and try.
Yep, that's the key. That's what my last video, the name of my last video was Try It. Just try it. You know, before you deny it, before, I already got two thumbs down on there. I bet those two thumbs down or didn't even try it. They just speculated from the information that they got that there's no way possible this could work. All right? And moved right along.
Maybe they were bored.
Maybe. You know, and maybe it's just my troll haters out there that hate my guts, but I'm sitting here putting a plausible idea on the table there. And yet they haven't put any reasoning why this isn't going to work so that I can talk with them about it and find a solution to make it work. So they haven't added nothing to it. And 9 times out of 10, when somebody does put some sort of hateful comment and I go to their channel, they have no videos to show for nothing. They haven't done nothing. They haven't showed nobody nothing. All they have is their mouth to run and to tell everybody why something can't be done.
Well, coming from England, I'm very much under the pagan influence, which basically means it's an oral tradition.
Well, you know, we can talk about it, but actions speak louder than words. If you want to get it done, it's as simple as getting up doing it.
as my friend said, when you're in a lift, a fart is like a picture. It paints a thousand words.
Yeah, it's also miserable for whoever's in the elevator with you. All right, everybody. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show on ShazizRadio.com. If you like what you heard, please rebroadcast the podcast if you like, or pass the links on to it or whatever, just so other people can hear it. And that's what it's all about, passing the information along. If you want to be a radio host over here, get with me. If you want to be part of the project, the book project, to put out the how-tos and stuff, then send it over to ShazizRadio@yahoo.com, and we'll get that all together, and we're going to start passing these how-to books out to people in a fashion to which you can actually, when you receive a how-to book, you can actually take it apart, put it on a copy machine, reprint it, rebind it, and then send it right out to more people. So it's kind of like a joint effort, you know. There we go. So with that said, Steve, you got anything last to say?
Check the chat there. I put in a link about the Chinese developing a magnetic plasma device that creates temperatures three times hotter than the core of the sun.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. That's brilliant stuff. I looked at that.
Other than that, au revoir.
All right, well, you heard it here on the Mad Science Show. If you like what we're doing, try to pass the word around, get some folks over here and get them involved. We need brilliant thinkers. We need people that want to do instead of just talk. And if all you can do is talk, that's fine as well. We need broadcasters. We need people in the chat rooms. We just need people together to enact the solutions that we keep pointing out and have been for quite some time. The platform's here. It's yours. And you're welcome to it. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. Check us out on the Knights of the Roundtable tomorrow, 8 a.m. Central to 11 a.m. Central time. Come be one of the honorary knights. Come be one of the knights. It's as simple as a Skype phone call or jumping in the chat room and posting links pertinent to whatever. All right. Take care of each other. Peace and love.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.